Really, John Madden needs no introduction at all. I think most of America, unless you've been hiding under a rock the last decade or so, knows who John Madden is. The thing I like about John is he's no different as a broadcaster than he was as a coach. I used to love to watch him on the sideline. I used to love to talk to him up at training camp. And he brings that same enthusiasm, that same insight, and that same fun look at football that he did when he was coaching it. John, how are you tonight?
You know, you've been a part of this for such a long time, and yet I remember those early days when you were in the broadcast booth. I didn't know whether you were going to make it or not. Do you surprise yourself about how successful you have been?
Yeah, probably, because I never really thought about it. You know, I mean, I was lucky that I started out, and I started out doing like the seventh or eighth game that didn't go very far and wasn't watched by a lot of people, and there were no critics watching it, and the bosses in New York, I don't even think they watched it. So I kind of had like a minor league experience. And, you know, some of these guys today where they, you know, get out and they're with the A team or they're doing primetime football or something and it's their first year, that's tough. And I never had to go through those things. So I just, you know, got on and did it and, you know, got a lot of time in before anyone ever knew that I was even doing it.
One of the things, John, that has made you so successful, at least in my estimation, is because I knew you as a coach with the Oakland Raiders, you really did not change as a broadcaster than what you were as a person. And I think that that made people around the country be able to relate to John Madden a little bit better. Is that unique? Do you think that people try to be broadcasters instead of being real people like you are?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably something to that. I never, you know, like you said, did you ever think that would ever happen? Heck no, I never thought about it, and probably had I thought about it, it wouldn't have. I've never felt that I was a television guy. I mean, I've always felt that I'm a football guy that does television, and I really don't know much about television, and I haven't, you know, learned the intricacies of the industry, you know, as you would. And it's just that I know football, and I have a passion for football and the players and the coaches and the game and that's what I do. So I've tried to really keep up with the play and the players and the game and those types of things. And I haven't paid a heck of a lot of attention, to be honest to you, to the industry.
Pat Summerall was here on the show, and we were talking about athletes, about when he played and athletes today. I want you to hear what he had to say about the difference between them. Here's Pat.
A lot of things have changed. It's a long time ago since I played, and I think the athletes, no question today, are much, much better. I think it has to do with diet. I think it has to do with the rewards at the end. I think coaching has improved tremendously over the years.
Have you been amazed, John, at the evolution of the professional athlete?
Yeah, and like Pat says, I mean they're better, they're bigger and stronger because, you know, of diet and training. They stay in shape year round. The coaching is better in that there's so many more of them, and you know, and they use computers and stuff that, you know, we didn't use. I mean, the game is getting very close to perfection. But the one thing that they really haven't perfected yet is having enough quarterbacks. You know, all the rules for football generally go towards the offense, specifically towards the passing game, and that puts, you know, a bigger burden on the game and the guys, and there's not enough guys to go around. I mean, you could count on two hands the number of quarterbacks in the NFL that can play the game the way they've legislated it now.
You know, you had a team, of course, that had a lot of great personalities, and yet for some reason, John, when I look around sports today, maybe it's just because of the money and it's become big business, I don't see those type of players with the personalities, the fun type of guys anymore.
You know, I was talking to someone about that same thing today, and I don't know if it's because they make more money and, you know, the way things are today, they don't go out in public as much. They don't communicate with the fans as much, but they don't even communicate with each other as much. I know when we used to practice, at least I used to think, I mean, maybe my players will tell you it wasn't any fun, but I used to think it was fun. And, I mean, practice was fun. We'd have some laughs. You know, you were around there, and you know, we'd have some laughs after practice. The games were fun. And now I go to some practice, and I'm not one of those guys that say, well, it was a lot better in the old days, but it just seems like to me that no one is having fun at what they do anymore.
Do you see also that widening gap, as I do on here, this national show, between the fan, the sport, and the athlete?
Well, yeah, I think that's happened, and I don't know if it's because the players are making so much more money that they're not living in the communities anymore, or it's just hard to go out. You know, I mean, people used to go out all the time. I mean, you'd go out to dinner, you'd go out to, you know, clubs, you'd go out, you'd be out in, you know, in town, and the fans and the players would go to the same places, and you just don't see that anymore. And I'm not sure why it is, but I don't think it's only in sports. I think it's in everything where you know, the people just don't mingle like they used to.
I'll tell you what, we had two of your former players in here one night. Now, you can just picture this. George Atkinson and Jack Tatum were sitting in here.
Yeah, they were two good ones.
Oh, boy, they were good ones. But you should have heard them go back and forth. They were telling stories. They were telling stories about you, how they used to play tricks. The team used to play tricks on you up at training camp.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, they probably did. I was too stupid. I didn't even know they were. I remember they used to always kid George about being from Morris Brown.
Yeah.
You know, and Jack used to say, you know, that he was from a university, Ohio State University. Skip Thomas was from USC, and George was from Morris Brown College. It wasn't even a university.
Also, you had another interesting personality as well, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about him, and that was Ted Hendricks.
Well, you know, I mean, there was only one. He was, you know, a lot of guys try and be a free spirit, and I don't know, in my lifetime, I've met maybe two or three people that were truly free spirits, and one of those guys, and if you just said that word association thing, free spirit, who would you think of? It would be Ted Hendricks. I mean, he's the most free-spirited guy that I've ever known. I mean, he was a guy that had great talent as a football player. He was a guy who could have fun and still play the game as well as anyone's ever played it. And in fact, you know, I mean, he did it. He did it his way, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
How then, John, because you hear coaches talking about disruptions on teams, but yet you had a bunch of guys that were free spirits, went about, did everything, but when they put on the helmet, when they walked on the field, they were all business.
Well, they knew that. I mean, that was a part, and that was the discipline that they had. You know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they put a lot of rules. We only had three rules: to be on time, pay attention, and play like heck when, you know, the game comes. And there was nothing else. And some teams had, you know, dress codes, and their sideburns couldn't be darned so far, and they couldn't have any facial hair. They couldn't have, and we never had any of those things. And I didn't figure that had anything to do with discipline. You know, discipline was from the time the ball was snapped until the whistle blew. And, you know, if they did the things then we had a chance. You know, everything was going to be okay. But if they were, you know, I mean, nice and, you know, and polite and dressed in neckties and had, you know, all the crew cuts and all that stuff, and then we got down in the goal line, they jumped off sides, you know, so much for the nice already. You know, I don't need any nice. Stay on side. Wait till the ball snapped, then you go.
John, you made the transition to the broadcast booth, and as I alluded to earlier in the broadcast here, it was a natural thing for you, but yet I remember in the very beginning you weren't comfortable with a coat and tie on, kind of. That was not John Madden. As the years have gone along, are you any more comfortable with it, or you just said, hey, I'm going to just be myself?
Well, what I do is there's a coat and tie deal. I bluff it. You see, we're only really on camera, you know, for an opening, and some, you know, and that's only about a minute. So what I do is I wear sneakers and sweatpants, and then I wear a dress shirt and a tie and the blazer, you know, for the on camera. And then once we're finished with the on camera, I take off the blazer and the tie, and I got a shirt and my sneakers and my sweatpants on.
Nowhere else would you have heard that, America, but right here on Sports Byline.
First time that's ever been admitted. If they ever took a shot from the waist down, well, they need one of those wide-angle deals, but they ever took a shot from the waist down, well, from the waist up is not very good package.
I got to tell you, I used to sit behind a desk when I was anchoring sports on television, and I'd be known a couple of times to have nothing but shorts and sneakers on as well, and then a coat and tie. Somehow the outfit did not go together, John.
Yeah, well, I always take the coat and tie off. I mean, the minute that we start that, because really, You know, you think you're on television, and you're on television, but really it's more of a radio thing once the game starts, because, you know, the cameras are always pointed where they should be, at the football field and the players.
One of the special people in life and also happens to be involved in sports as well, John Madden, is with us, and you will take a quick break here. Come back on the other side. I'll spend a couple minutes more with the coach, and then I'll open up the lines around the country and let you chat with him. When we come back and continue with Sports Byline.